Bienvenidos to our latest edition of Corazón Bilingüe. Join us as we explore the dynamics of language, culture, and the art of poetry. I'm your host, Brenda Nettles Rojas. Con este programa, exploramos la dinámica del lenguaje, la cultura, y la creación poética, sometimes in English y a veces en español. Our program fluctuates between English and Spanish. Joining us today via a telephone interview from Southgate, Los Angeles, is photographer, poet, and bilingual educator, Claudia D. Hernandez. Thank you for joining us today, Claudia.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you for having me on the air.
Well, Claudia, you are a busy creative spirit with your photography and your poetry and a new project that you have in the works. Let's start by talking about writing and how you started writing poetry.
How I started writing poetry. Okay, I started writing poetry a few years ago, and I didn't really think it was poetry. I was just writing, you know, my feelings, just letting it out on my journals. And little by little, the more you read, I think the more I realize these are poems. I went through my different phases of, you know, crystal path, confessional poetry, and then, you know, I started writing socially conscious poems. And I think that's how I started. Yeah, pretty much journaling.
And we want to point out to our listeners that you were born and raised in Guatemala and you came to the United States when you were 10 years old.
That's right. I was born and raised in a little pueblito that I love with all my heart. And that's where I want to go back and die, called Tepic Alta Verapaz.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I lived until I was 10. And I came here with both my mom, my mother, and my two older sisters at the age of 10.
Well, and you draw from a lot of your experiences in your work, I've noticed, as a writer.
I grew up in a town where indigenismo, Guatemala is one of the countries that in Central America that has about 75% to almost 80% indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school, and I'm just really sad that I never learned the language, Pocomchi.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have, you know, a lot of the phrases, you know, I learned it, and that sometimes it comes to me in my poetry, and I just write it out.
And that's pronounced Pocomchi. It's the indigenous language, isn't it, of the Mayan heritage?
Yes, Pocomchi. It's one of them.
Oh, okay.
It's just like, yeah, Pocomchi.
So you weave it into your work?
I do. Just in a few of my poems, I have like the titles or certain phrases that, you know, repetitive phrases. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that stood out to me when I was little, that I would go to the mercado and, you know, play with my friends. And now if I plan, you know, I'm planning to go back to Guatemala soon, and hopefully I'll just study it more and learn it
right. Completely
and be more fluent.
Well, language is a part of a person. I know that here locally, Bishop Daniel Flores, who writes in English and in Spanish, and he says, I thought it was really interesting what he had pointed out, that cada lenguaje es un mundo. Each language is like a world unto itself.
Exactamente. It is. And like I was mentioning to you earlier, I started writing in Spanish, and my ex-boyfriend, Fernandez Diaz, he translated a lot of my work. And little by little, I started writing poems, bilingual poems, where I would write one stanza in Spanish and the second one in English, just simultaneously without thinking. And then from there, I started translating my own poems. And now I write in English, so it started working out like that for me, naturally.
Well, would you share one of your poems with us today?
Okay, let me share, since we're talking about Pocomchi, it's called Kimayu. And Kimayu in Pocomchi, it means Beni para acá. Which Beni para acá in English means come over here.
Okay.
And I'm going to read it in Spanish, or okay. Unless you want me to read the English translation that Jose Hernandez has translated for me.
Why don't you read the Spanish first and then the English?
Okay, perfect. Kimayu, Beni para acá. Mis entrañas se contraen. Es mi aliento que se escapa. Va en busca de mi gente. Oigo un eco que retumba, voces dulces, lengua tierna. Kimayu, Beni para acá. Me roza un aire con olor a incienso. La marimba se oye lejos. Son los moros. Han llegado con sus danzas de venados. Los repiques de campanas en los templos siempre estallan. Ese acorde no se olvida. Oigo un eco que retumba. Voces dulces, lengua tierna. Kimayu, vení pa' acá. En mi piel siento la cera. Esta quema. Hace llagas que me adiestran a apreciar mi nueva existencia. Mi alma ruge. Ya no tiembla. He encontrado el nuevo Edén. So that's the Spanish. That's, I wrote it like that, mm-hmm. in Spanish, with the Himayu phrases in Pohonchin. Would you like me to read the English now?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Himayu, come over here. English translation by Jose Hernandez Diaz. My insides contract. It is my breath that escapes. It goes in search of my people. I hear an echo that resonates. Sweet voices, tender tongue. Himayu, come over here. A wind of incense graces my core. The marimba's keys chime in the distance. It is the Moors. They have come with their ancient deer dances. The clamor of the bell from the temple always resound. That melody can never fade. I hear an echo that resonates, sweet voices, tender tongue. Himayu, come over here. On my flesh, I feel a wax that burns. It leaves scars that teach me to appreciate my new existence. My fierce soul no longer trembles. I have found my new Eden.
Very beautiful. There's a strong connection to your roots in this poem.
Yes. That's one of the words, that's one of the main phrases that I never forgot. And I just, I don't know, when I wrote this poem, I thought, I have to. And when I started doing that, I thought, you know, maybe people are not going to appreciate that. And I was so wrong. People actually do. Many poets appreciate other languages.
Right. Well, I mean, because again, we said earlier, it's part of who you are. And it's a part of your work, and to be able to incorporate that. There's a real freedom these days to use multiple languages in the work.
Exactly.
And in addition to writing poetry, you also write short stories and children's stories, and I understand young adult novels.
I do a lot of different things. I started off writing children's stories. What I usually do with my children, because I'm a teacher, so I write a lot of stories for my kids. And I would also illustrate the stories in buying the books by hand, like sew them by hand and do the hardcover and everything. So I have like maybe like 5 books that I've bound so far. And then, of course, I only have 1 copy. So that's how I began. And then I started writing short stories in Spanish.
Okay.
Children's books are in English and Spanish. The short stories are in Spanish. And now that I'm working on my MFA at Antioch, I'm writing novels now for young adults. Like now I'm doing chapters. So I keep evolving.
Excellent. Now, in your work, you also address a lot of social issues, everything from poverty to immigration, gender, and of course, language.
Yes, definitely. I do. I could read one that this one was inspired by my experience of how I came to this country, which took about 21 days when I came here with both my sisters and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
We came here illegally, so I remember all the different things that I saw, but this is a poem that came out of me one day, I think 2 years ago that I wrote it. And this one's called Frontera de Milagro. Now, this one I didn't write 2 years ago. This one I wrote it last year. And this one I translated myself.
Okay.
So this one's called Frontera de Milagro. Caminábamos con pies derretidos. Platicábamos a pausas, con bocas pegajosas, selladas de la sed. Nuestras miradas quemadas, asustadas, de ver tanto fantasma en lo oscuro del camino, en el polvo de la nada, hasta tropezarnos con los húmedos labios del río. Río bravo de mi lado, río grande de tu lado. Ninguno quiso beber de este serpentino pasaje. Nuestra piel tostada nos abrigó y flotamos como lanchitas salpicadas de agua dulce, agua salada. Llegamos al otro lado, tu lado, mi lado. In Spanish, I titled it, Border on My Side. We walked with melted feet, chatting in slow motion, with viscid mouths sealed with thirst, our burnt gazes afraid to see the ghost in the darkness of the path, in the emptiness of dust, until we stumbled upon the moist lips of the river. Rio Bravo on my side, Rio Grande on your side. No one drank from the serpentine passage, while floating in the water resembling small boats. Our bronze flesh kept us warm, splattered with fresh water, salty water. We disembarked on the other side. your side, my side. So that's one about immigration and my experience personally.
And that whole concept of leaving one country, entering to another, and this new country is yours now.
It is, and I have gone through so many. At the age of 10, you know, I'm a little girl confronted with a new culture, a new language, not just one culture. I was confronted with various cultures, and I had to learn how to adapt, how to assimilate, and also how to learn how to retain my roots. So I went through a lot of different phases in my life, and I wrote this poem that I haven't translated yet, which talks about that. One day I just me puse como tristona, algo nostálgica, and it's called Tejiendo la Niebla. Descalzo uno emigra a tierras extrañas. Hay quienes no olvidan, hay quienes ensartan su patria en el alma. La tierra no tiene fronteras, murmuran los pies reventados. Las huellas que implantan transmiten nostalgia. Hay piedras calientes que a veces se enfrían. Hay campos dorados que tejen la niebla. Hay volcanes que arrojan sus piedras de pomo. Y uno aquí, escupiendo cenizas en la lejanía. La tierra no tiene fronteras, suspira la arboleda. El árbol exiliado no logra evitar que su fruto florezca. ¿Qué culpa tiene la almendra que el viento la arrastre y la engendre en tierras ajenas? That's the one that I haven't translated yet.
Yeah, again, there's almost an echo of struggle, of accepting, I mean, yourself accepting being in a new country.
Exactly. Many of us go through that. I mean, especially this poem, I came as an immigrant. I got married and I had my son. So now my son, you know, he's half Mexican-American, Guatemalteco. So he has all these different cultures now. But me, I identified myself as 100% Guatemalteca.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like that. Like, it's, you know, I came here and I had my fruto. And here he is growing up beautiful and healthy and happy. And I'm happy with that.
Right. Do you feel that your writing has helped you gain a better understanding of all that you went through? Or let me rephrase that. Do you think your writing has helped you give voice to some of the experiences you've had as an immigrant?
It has. It has taught me so much. All my experiences, I think that's what has shaped me, not only as a person, as a woman, but as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, it's given me my own voice to understand myself, what I went through, what I have become. And now I'm using it to help others as well, because I came here illegally and I went through the whole, you know, going through land, going through the river. We did everything with my mom and my sisters. So I understand. And I, to me, it's, people are still struggling. I was so lucky and so fortunate to have crossed, and I made it here safely thanks to my mother. But many, many other women, many other people are not as fortunate, and it shouldn't be like that. And but all these laws that this country has and continues to, like, deport all these, you know, people who have struggled to come over here, and now they're sending them back. It just breaks my heart, and it shouldn't be like that. Like, people should be free to migrate and go everywhere, but it is what it is, and it's very saddening.
Well, I know that you're working on a new project aimed at inspiring and empowering women, and that's the Today's Revolutionary Women of Color project. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so that it has so many layers. It started off as a photography exhibit, and then it turned into a publication of a photography book. So now what I'm doing is I interview everyday women who are role models in our communities, such as painters, poets, writers, artists, professors, social workers, teachers. And what I do is I interview them, and they share a story of resilience, and I videotape them with my iPad, and I also do like a little photo session. So what I'm going to do with that, I'm going to create a whole video with all the interviews and the photographs. I'm going to showcase them. It's going to going to be a walking photography exhibit now, because I want to go to different cities and exhibit what these women are doing in the communities with their art and with their career. Like, I want these women to raise awareness of what they're doing, and also to empower other women. Because if the women I work in my community, the schools where I work at, it's 99% Latinos. Mm-hmm. And many of our kids, they don't really get to see, you know, women who are doing all these wonderful things with their art, professors who are just so involved with the community and changing communities, transforming them. They don't really get to see that, because all they read is, you know, about heroes who have passed already in their history books. Mm-hmm. And I want to show them, I want to give them this opportunity. Look, they're still here, they're still alive, doing all these changes, and look at what they got through in their lives, you know, because they're going to share a story of resilience. So any woman could identify with that and say, well, I've gone through that, and if that person could do it, I could do it as well. So I'm doing that, and I'm also trying to raise funds for the project, because in the opening night of the exhibit, I want to give that book to all the women who attend to the exhibit. Mm. Because it's going to be an expensive book, and many of them are not going to be able to afford it.
So. Right. Photography books definitely are. And I know that some of the videos are already available online on YouTube.
Yes, they are. I have about 47 women have confirmed participation in the project, and I have interviewed 30 of them. So I have about 27 uploaded on YouTube.
Okay.
And I also created a page on Facebook that's called Today's Revolutionary Women of Color, and I upload their videos along with their photographs.
Excellent.
And everything that they're doing in the communities, their accomplishments, their schooling, everything. I mentioned everything there.
Well, going back, let's talk a little bit now about your writing. And again, we want to share with our listeners that if they would like to know more about your project, Today's Revolutionary Women of Color, that you've mentioned you have a Facebook page and it's available online. So they could probably just Google it and it'll bring it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Going back to your writing, we're talking today to photographer, poet, and bilingual educator Claudia D. Hernandez, who is joining us from Los Angeles, Southgate, Los Angeles. In regard to your poetry, are you ever surprised by one of your poems and the direction it takes?
I tend to write from inspiration when I'm in the mood, and I'm like, okay, I read. I tend to read a lot. Once I finish, I go through my phase of reading. All these phrases, all these ideas are stuck in my head, and I get inspired to write. And sometimes I just do it on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times where I remember one time I wrote this poem. Kimai Yi was one of them, or there was another one, that I wrote it, and I wasn't so inspired, but when it came out, it wasn't right. Like, I was so bothered with it because it wasn't projecting what I wanted to say,
right,
or the way I wanted to say it. So I had to, like, put it away, came back like a few days later, worked on it again, and I still couldn't get it there. And I really don't do that. Like, usually my poetry just comes out, and I edit like a few things here and there, and it's done. And I don't really go back to it. But that one was really, it took me a while to get it there, and I finally got it where I want it to be.
Well, and how do you know when a poem is finished?
You know what? I know I just said that. I'm like, I don't go back and edit. Yes, I lied, because I just edited something in one of my poems, like little things here and there, but it doesn't really change the content.
Right.
It doesn't really change the message.
You're fine-tuning.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's just one word that I'm like, no, I'm just going to take that out. But the message and the content always stays the same. Like, once I know what I want, it stays there.
Okay. And so how do you know when it's finished?
I don't think poetry is never finished. Like, you keep editing little things here and there.
You keep tweaking
but,
it.
But the message is there. Once I get it down on paper, it's there. That's the only thing that would not change. But editing, it will always, especially my English poems, I always notice, I didn't use that word correctly, or, oh no, the past tense or something.
Now, how do you decide which language to write in? I know that you started writing in Spanish, but now that you're using both languages, how do you decide which one to begin with?
Depends what I'm in the mood. I went through a phase where I would just think in Spanish, so everything would just come out in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And now I was reading a lot of novels in Spanish, a lot of literature in Spanish, and that's when I was doing a lot of my writing in Spanish, my short stories. Now that I'm doing this MFA, I'm reading a lot of novels in English, so my writing, that's what's projecting that it's English.
Okay.
So I think that it has to do with whatever I'm reading.
So what are you reading now?
Okay, I'm all the titles that I'm reading right now, they're for young adults. So I'm writing like a teenager now.
Well, for the young adult novels, that makes sense. That makes sense. Claudia, do you have a writing exercise that you like to use to get those creative juices going?
You know what? I started reading last semester. I read this amazing book by Susan Wooldridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Poem Crazy. And she gives a lot of exercises on how to get, you know, started on phrases, interesting phrases, or just start like the first sentence of a poem or something. So with some of her exercises, I created, it's called Found Poetry. I don't know if you've heard of that term.
Oh, yes.
And I ended up writing about two or three poems just like that, where I would just, the exercise, what it does, you have to, you know, if you're reading a novel, whether it's a novel or a newspaper, you choose random phrases, or not phrases, words that you find interesting. You write them down on a piece of paper, like three columns,
mm-hmm.
and then you match them however you like, two or three phrases, and create random phrases. And sometimes you create some unique phrases that they're, like, very powerful, or, you know, like, they do something to you, and you could start a poem like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done a couple of poems like that just for fun, and I like them, or they've helped me, you know, start, like, a short story or something.
Right. Well, excellent. Well, we would love to hear another poem before we run out of time.
How about, this is one of my favorite poems, and it's called La Callada.
Okay.
Batallada. Batallada absorbiendo el silencio de senderos polvorientos, atestados de flores muertas de la sed. Aligerada, huye de la sombra alargada de una mujer desdeñada, en busca de agua fresca. Con su chagual enrollado en la cabeza, balancea un cántaro quebrantado. Ya no zarandea sus caderas, ceñidas, caídas. Hunde ambas manos en los huecos profundos de su delantal. A lo lejos, oye el río. Se oye bravo.
One of the things I noticed in, I think, almost all the poems that I heard you read today was the river is a big part of it. El río. And
you know what? I have a short story called El Río. Because I grew up in, I think, and I also grew up in another place called Mayuelas, which is very hot. So every day I would go to El Rio to bathe myself in the Rio. So it's very important to me, El Rio. And this is the same Rio that I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, Claudia, it's been a real pleasure talking to you today. And I look forward to hearing more about your project, Today's Revolutionary Women of Color. Please keep us posted when you have the exhibit.
Thank you so much, Brenda. It was such a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
You are listening to Corazón Bilingüe. We invite you to join us again as we continue our conversation on language, culture, and the art of poetry. Los invitamos que nos acompañen de nuevo, mientras que sigamos explorando la dinámica del lenguaje, la cultura y la creación poética. If you would like to hear more, visit us at www.corazonbilingue.com. Gracias por acompañarnos.